Jay, thank you for joining us today. We feel like God is saying some really awesome things to us as a church and as individuals. And I've invited Tori to join me today. And I feel like the Lord's been using him so greatly in this season. And so I've invited him to join us. Hey, just say hello to everybody.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here this morning. So good to be talking to all of you. I'm not sure if you're watching from your car, your living room, or your bedroom, but from wherever you are, we're so glad that you're with us this morning.
Yeah, and we're going to take a couple of moments, and we're going to go to the Word in just a few moments. If you want to go ahead and get your Bible, we're going to go to 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. Go ahead and get your Bible now, because it might take you like 10 minutes to find that passage. But you could also, if you're watching on the app or on the website, you can go right down there in the bottom right-hand corner, and you'll be able to find the passage there by looking in the Bible app right on the website or in the app. But we feel like God's been speaking to us as individuals, and we feel like he's been talking to our church. Actually, we feel like he's been talking to our church for a couple of months now, really clearly about the moment we're in, setting us up for this moment.
Absolutely.
And so I feel like the Lord's been saying something to us, and we've been asking our congregation, so now that we're in this place, now that we've got to this moment, what is God saying to you? Because this isn't a moment we should miss. That's what we've been saying last week. We were talking about, don't miss this moment. Like, God's in it.
Right.
And so don't miss the lessons that he's trying to get to us. And so I know that you've been talking to some folks, and there have been some people online who have been responding. Maybe just tell us a little bit about what's been going on with you and some conversations, and then I think we might have some videos for people.
Yeah, absolutely. So I had the opportunity to interview two of our Christchurch family members. Jennifer, she and her family, that, you know, she's got two kids, and she's going to tell you a little bit about how that's going at home. And she's going to share, you know, this has really been a destabilizing event in a lot of ways, and we're really, all of us in our families and communities, we're living moment to moment, but she's going to really talk about how her family has found a way to make these moments matter. After that, we're going to hear from Sarah McDonald, wife of Josh McDonald and mother of Banning McDonald. We love their family. And Sarah is actually a nurse, so she's one of the people on the front lines fighting this thing in the hospitals, and we're so thankful for her work. But she's just going to share kind of what she's been learning through this experience. And I think it's going to be a really great message that will bless all of you. So let's take a look at what they have to say.
Well, we think that while the Lord is speaking to us, maybe even in the spirit and very practical ways in our life, in our everyday life, we also think he has something to say to us from Scripture. And in fact, I was talking to Tori about this. I had been contemplating this passage. This is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. It's just, it's spoken to me so many times. And so I'd been contemplating this. And then somebody called me and said, hey, before you go too far in this, I feel like I'm supposed to call you, and I don't know why I'm supposed to call you, but I feel like I'm supposed to talk to you about this passage. And like, my spirit immediately bore witness with it. And then I got a second confirmation to it. And so I felt like the Lord was speaking. So if he's speaking, we ought to respond.
Absolutely.
And so we're in 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. And it's a famous story about a man by the name of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat is king. And the notable thing about Jehoshaphat, different from many of the other kings of his time, was that he followed God. He really listened to God. And so I'm going to read in the very first verse of 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. After this, the Moabites and Ammonites with some of the Meunites came to make war against Jehoshaphat. So obviously there are some enemies that have surrounded them. And the interesting thing, what always catches my attention, was after this. Well, after this is the first line in this verse. So what preceded it? It's like the word therefore something is preceding it. And so after this, well, in the previous chapter, you'll note, and there's an awesome thing that God's doing. He's prospering Jehoshaphat. There's a spiritual revival that's taking place in the community. And so their hearts are set on God. And we feel like God's been kind of doing that here at Christ Church for the last few months. He's really been speaking to us and directing us. And so after this, then something happens. Here, the Moabites, Ammonites, and the Meunites, they gather around. So they are completely surrounded by enemies at this point. And it would appear to be an impossible situation because they're outnumbered.
Yeah.
They're outmanned.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but when you're in an impossible situation, you start to grasp, like, what are my options? Do I have any options?
Sure.
And when you start to get down, impossibility means there are no options.
Right.
So in this next verse, this is pretty amazing what takes place, because they need a miracle from God. And some of you need miracles from God today. You really need God to show up in your marriage or with your children or in your family or your finances or even in your health. And we need God to do a miracle in our society, in America, and here in Florida, and right here in Orlando, Florida. We need God to do a miracle. And so the next verse, if you want to just go ahead and read, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, so in verse 3 it says, "Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all of Judah." You know, one of the things that I love about this verse is just the realness of that. You know, it doesn't say that Jehoshaphat wasn't shaken. You know, he saw an enemy that was far bigger than him, something that he didn't have the ability to conquer on his own, and he was afraid. And, you know, when we look at this situation, it's very similar to that in a lot of ways. You know, there's experts all across the world who are scrambling, trying to figure this thing out, and no one really seems to have a clear solution.
Right.
Right? But what I love is that the lesson in this isn't how to feel, but it's what to do with our feelings.
That's really good, because even in his circumstance, this is a godly man who's been leading the community to godliness, and then this alarming thing happens, and he responds with fear. Like, that's his first, it's his feeling. Mm-hmm. This is good. It's his feeling, but it's not his response.
Right.
It's not his response to his feeling. And so go ahead and read.
Yeah, so verse 4, "The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him."
That's very cool. So I love this, because he decides that they're going to inquire of the Lord, which means they're going to pray. And that's what we've been doing here at Christ Church, actually, for the next few months. Last few months, we've been praying. And this week, we're going to have two prayer times I'm going to invite you to be a part of this week. On Monday at 7 o'clock p.m., we're going to do a Zoom prayer. And then Thursday morning, we're going to do a Zoom prayer. If you'd like to be a part of that, you're going to need to email us or contact us so we can invite you into that. Send us your telephone number somehow so we can get a contact with you and get you into that Zoom prayer. But I think that we have to pray. We have to press in hard in prayer. And that's what he's doing.
For sure. And what I love about that is that Jehoshaphat realized this wasn't a one-man show. This wasn't his right. prayer to pray, and he realized that if he's going up against something this big, he's got to rally all the troops that he can.
Really
and
good.
So, you know, it's one thing for a man or a woman to fully give themselves over to God, but what would that look like for our church? Mm-hmm. You know, if our church would rally around this idea of praying for a community, well, how would it change us when we finally come back together? How would it change our community or city if there were people fully committed, fully asking God to do the impossible?
How about this? How would it change a family? Mm. If mom and dad started to pray, like in front of their kids. Like, I have the heritage that my dad prayed in front of us constantly. And I know there are some of you, you've had praying moms and dads or a praying grandparent or praying aunt. And you knew that when you walked into the room, most likely even at night, you were going to hear them calling out God to God in prayer and calling out your name. And so we need people that are going to call on God and believe that God will answer. And so Jehoshaphat, he begins to pray, and verse number 5, it says, "He stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in front of the new courtyard and said, 'O Lord, our God, the God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you.'" The fascinating thing about this to me is that God already knows that about himself, you know, like
right.
he's not informing God of anything. He's actually speaking out loud. He's reminding himself, this is who I'm praying to.
Sure.
I need to be reminded that the God that I'm praying to can do anything, that he's done this in the past and he can do it again. And that's what verse number 7 says. "Oh God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of the land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying," and listen to these words, "if calamity comes upon us," this could be our prayer today, "if calamity comes upon us, whether by the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us." I mean, that's the kind of prayer. Like, we have to cry out. And I mean, not, honestly, not meek or timid prayers, but just like, God, we need to hear from you.
Yeah.
Our economy needs to hear from you. Our president needs to hear from you. We need to hear from you in our homes, in our family, and personally, we need to hear from you.
I love how this prayer, it really, he doesn't even address the problem. He just addresses his God.
Right.
He reminds himself of how big his God is.
It's really
good. And, you know, there is something so powerful about praying the identity of God.
That's good.
You know, I mean, yeah. God is our provider, and because we know he's our provider, we know that he will provide.
That's
he really does it because it's who he is.
Yeah.
You know, we know he's our healer,
yeah.
And so we know he heals us because it's who he is. And it's kind of like when God introduces himself to Moses, and he says, you know, my name is Yahweh, which means I am. And what I love about that, the most beautiful thing in my opinion, is it's almost like he's writing a blank check, saying, I am who I need to be in any situation, in any problem, in any issue.
I'm
I will
healer.
Be exactly what I need to be
I'm
in that.
I'm a provider.
Right.
I'm the God who lifts up those that are discouraged. I'm a friend of the friendless. I'm the one that can do miracles. Yeah, he's the I am. And I love that. We need to remind ourselves, I don't know if you ever had a time where you just came before God in prayer and you just started to declare who God was, even if you've been really discouraged. There's something that takes place down inside of you, like your spirit connects with him. Mm. And when your spirit connects with him, it just lifts you up. And all of a sudden you realize, like, that God that I'm talking about is on my side.
Right.
And so I'm just going to challenge you today. Begin to declare wherever you are. Take some time today and start to declare who God is and what he's done for you in times past. And then here's what it says in verse number 12, and I'm just going to jump straight down to it. Our God, will you not judge those who are coming against us? We have the power. We have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. And man, that's really our circumstance. We have no power to face
right.
this thing. But we do not know what to do. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. I'm thankful for the leadership that President Trump has been giving. I'm thankful for the doctors and the people that are around him. I'm thankful for our governor. I'm thankful for our mayor. I'm thankful for the people who are helping to lead us in the medical profession through this. But the truth is, there's only a limit of what they know what to do.
Right.
And so what we have to do is not get our eyes on the president or even the vice president or Congress. We have to get our eyes on God.
Absolutely.
Lord, we don't know what to do, so our eyes are fixed on you. Whatever your circumstance is today, get your eyes fixed on God. If you've lost your job, get your eyes fixed on God. If you're having, literally, if you're having financial calamity in your house, get your eyes fixed on God. If you're not well today, if you're sick today, get your eyes fixed on God, because he's the God that can do anything. And here they begin to cry out that they need help. They need God's help.
You know, I can't believe I'm even going to make this reference, but this is what being quarantined with my wife for 14 days has done to me. But we were watching Frozen 2 for the second time in 2 days. And there's a line in that movie where they said, we don't know what to do. And then there was this wise kind of troll-like figure who says, the best next thing when you don't know what to do is the right thing, or is the next right thing. And, you know, that's kind of about this situation, you know.
Right.
You know, when you don't know what to do, what is your response? And for us, the next right thing is always going to be going to God in prayer.
Amen.
It's always
Amen.
Going to be giving that situation to him.
Amen.
And if you make it a habit of doing that, you know, it'll change not just this situation, but any future situation.
Yeah. And honestly, what takes place next is it's just one of those game changers, because there are some people that need to hear from God. And so a prophet from the Lord begins to speak up, and he says, you will not have to fight this battle. I'm down in verse number 17. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions. Stand firm. Like, do what you're supposed to do. Honestly, do what you're supposed to do. Wash your hands, you know. Do social distancing. Do what you're supposed to do. Sanitize, but pray and seek the Lord. Fast. And when you do this, then stand firm in what you're supposed to do, and then let God do what he's going to do. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out and face them tomorrow. Get ready to face tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. And so they get ready, and they get ready to take their battle positions. And when they go ready to take their battle positions, the Lord is speaking to them, and the Lord's speaking to you today. Like, he's with you. He's going to be with you in this. And then Jehoshaphat gives an instruction, and I love this. in this instruction, he starts to tell them what they should do. And I'm just going to read down in verse number 21. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army. They went out in front of the warriors. They went out in front of the people that everyone thought was going to win the battle for them.
Right.
They went out in praise, like the choir, the praise and worship singers. They got out there and they began to praise. And so here's what he said. He actually tells them the song. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. You know, I just feel music coming. Come, Sean, I'm going to invite Sean. Now you feel like you're at church. Come on, give thanks to the Lord. Hey, we have a reason to thank him today. We have a reason to thank him. We might not have even seen the circumstance change, but we have to start to declare who God is in this. For his love endures forever. There's nothing about God's love for you that's changed from the time this started. He still loves you and he's still working for you. And I'll just read on to this next verse, verse number 22. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir for those who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. And let me just tell you, how God defeated them was just miraculous.
Yeah.
They never picked up a sword. They never went to battle. They sang praise, and as they were singing praise, the armies that were against them began to fight against each other.
Right.
Like the enemy was turned against itself. You know what? I'm praying, because I'm praying something miraculous. I'm praying that as we praise God, as we lift up God, that literally this coronavirus will die. Like it'll die in our community. I'm praying that while we're lifting up God, that it'll be eradicated. They're saying it might come back in a couple of months, or it might come back in a year. I'm going to lift up the name of Jesus and believe that he can do anything. And I'm going to trust him and proclaim that he's a God that defeats our enemies. And so wherever you are today, I'm just going to challenge you. Will you just start to lift up the name of Jesus? Will you start to consider praising him? Because here's what I know. Worship is warfare. It's not a style. It's not about a hymn, or it's not about something that if you like Hill songs, or if you like Fanny Crosby, it's not about that. It's about Jesus.
Yeah.
It's about lifting him up in this generation. And when we begin to worship, God does the warfare for us. He gets out in front of us and he wins the battle for us. Amen.
Amen.
So here's what takes place then. They're blessed. They get the spoils of God defeating their enemy. And the very last two verses of this, verse 29 and verse 30, says, fear came upon everybody around them. And they knew that, like the people of Israel that were serving God, they knew that God was the God. Our God was the God. And here's what I want you to know. The world's watching us. The world's watching us about how we're responding to this. The world's watching us as to whether we're gonna fall apart, but here's what I'm convinced the world wants to know that what we believe is real.
Yeah.
That the hope that we have, that we believe that the hope we have will suffice for us, that our God will get us through. And even though we're walking through the same battle everybody else is, that we don't have to be afraid. That even though that we have the same threat against us, we don't have to be afraid, because God's on our side, so we're going to praise him, and that's peculiar and it's unusual. And the world's watching to whether we're going to do that or not. And I have to say, I believe that God can change not just our homes and our community. He might even change our country in this.
Yeah.
Yesterday I was reading in the Washington Post, they're actually saying that quite possibly America might be on the beginning of the second great awakening, the second great spiritual. When the Washington Post starts to say, hey, there's something shaken in America, and it has something to do with faith. Come on, stand. You got to stand.
Got to put power in united prayer. And so no matter where you are across this country, across this world, across this city, pull the people around you close and let's pray together and ask God to do something impossible.
Amen. Amen. I'm just gonna go ahead. And how about if we just go ahead and start to pray? Dear Heavenly Father, where else do we go except to you?
Yes, God.
So we come to you today and we ask you, dear Lord, that you would work in our behalf. We declare that you're a God who has done miracles before us, and we praise you for every time you've touched us. We praise you, dear Lord, that even though there have been things that have been said against us previously, and maybe there were people that thought we would never amount to anything, and yet you've been on our side, and here we stand. And Lord, there have been impossible circumstances that we thought maybe we'd never get through, and yet you're the God who delivered us. You're the God who brought us to this day. You're the God who gave us the job. You're the God who gave us the spouse. You're the God who gave us children. You're the God who's blessed us over and over again. And we declare there's no one like you, God.
Yes, God.
There's no one like you in all the earth. There's no greater name. There's no greater power. We declare that you are God and God above every other name. And so today, Lord, the God of everything, we ask you that you'd make yourself known to us. Make yourself known to us, Lord. Make yourself known to us as the God who heals and the God who saves. I pray, dear Lord, in the name of Jesus, as we join together, that you'll touch our president. Give him wisdom.
Yes, God.
Lord, protect him. Protect our vice president. Keep this coronavirus away from them. And Lord, keep bad advice away from them.
Yes, God.
Give them wisdom. They need wisdom, Lord. Wisdom that they don't even have. We need you. And so, Lord, we pray over that today. We pray over our president. We pray over our mayor. Lord, will you give our mayor wisdom? Will you give the mayor of Orange County wisdom, Lord, as they lead us in this circumstance? And Tori, why don't you pick up and maybe start to pray over our families for a few moments?
God, right now, we just pray that you will find a way to take this situation that seems so dark and so confusing and has left many of us feeling hurt and lost and confused. And I pray that somehow in this darkness that your light will shine brightly, bring clarity into our homes, God. Yes. We ask right now that families will come out of this season not harmed, but they will come out stronger, yes, God. Stronger. You say that we pass through the fire and we shall not be burned. So God, right now, I pray that you will protect our families, that you'll keep them safe. We pray that not one family from Christ Church of Orlando will come down with this sickness. God, we pray a hedge of protection around our homes. We declare that you will not just heal our homes, but you will restore our homes, that you'll restore us spiritually.
Restore
God,
marriages.
We pray that you'll restore marriages, that the people who we live with will not just be roommates, God, but they will be a family, that they will be strong, that you will make a bond between parents and kids, that you will turn the hearts of the younger towards the older and the hearts of the older towards the younger, God. Bring unity in our homes, God. I pray for parents, and I pray that you give them wisdom in this time. Give them words to say to make their children disciples, God. We want to raise up a generation that seeks after you. Your word says to teach them these things.
Yes.
So God, I pray that you will deposit something in us that we can teach our young people. We thank you for giving us the wisdom when we ask for it. So God, we just declare right now that our young people are going to come out of this stronger, knowing you, rooted in your word, God. We thank you in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord. And we pray now, God, that you would touch those that are sick. And Lord, whether it's coronavirus or not, whatever the sickness is, will you heal? Lord, heal from cancer today. Heal from arthritis issues. Heal from things that would be considered to be impossible. MS.
Yes,
Lord,
God.
We ask you that you'll heal. For those that have Parkinson's, heal those that have Parkinson's, those that have migraines. Lord, whatever it is, you're the God that heals our diseases. So will you bring healing? And Lord, for those that already have coronavirus, God,
yes,
we're
God.
Asking you that that you would just cause that not one symptom would come.
Yes,
and in
God.
Fact, that the virus, because they've come in contact with your children, that the virus would die.
Amen.
In
Amen.
The name of Jesus.
Yes, Jesus.
Lord,
yes,
we're
Jesus.
Asking you, God, that you'll protect us, put a hedge of protection around about us. And Lord,
yes.
we're asking you that there would be a revival that would come from this, that our eyes would be
yes,
fixed
God.
On you in the name of Jesus. Lord, that churches would be set aflame, that people would be set aflame. And dear
yes,
Lord,
God.
That somehow...
Amen.
A great
Amen.
Awakening would come to your holy name. In the name of Jesus, we
yes.
pray. And now, Lord, we're going to praise you. We're going to praise you, dear God, because there's no other name like your name. We're going to lift you up. And right now, at your house, wherever you are, in your car, even in your office, right now, will you just go ahead and start to praise him? Come on, raise a hallelujah right where you are today. Come on. We lift you up, Jesus. We lift you up, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.